We're recording today on the lands of the Yagara people, and we acknowledge the traditional elders here, past and present. Hello everyone, I'm Andrea and welcome to Beyond the Rona. I'm a former registered nurse and midwife and a community advocate.
Hi everyone, I'm Tim. I'm a digital marketer and small business owner. And we're on a journey here to find out what our community members think are the big problems and big solutions as we emerge from the pandemic.
Today we're talking to Nav Singh, who's from the Indian community around the South Brisbane area. He immigrated from India around 15 years ago, is that right, Nav?
Yes, and
he's actually on the Greens Senate ticket this election, and we just thought we'd talk to Nav about the issues that might be in the, because the Indian community is quite large in this particular area, and I thought we'd just get Nav's perspective on the election from the Indian community's perspective and sort of, you know, what kind of issues there are coming from that perspective. I think it's really important to get his perspective. So welcome, Nav. It's really good to have you here.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah. So first of all, there's a couple of things that we were talking to you about previously. I think it's really interesting that you were saying the people from the Indian community tended to get their information from newspapers still, which I thought was interesting. You were saying that they tended to, when people, even though they immigrated over here, they tended to still get their information from sort of Indian newspapers and you know, that sort of, I found that really interesting.
Basically when someone moves in, it is really hard to start understanding the new society completely, and people missed their homeland back homes. Previously they used to be newspaper, now they are online portals, websites, or they are doing short videos or some IPTV channels.
So ITV, did you say?
IPTV is Internet Protocol TV channels. So it is not like a standard TV, as our TV has become digital now. Everything is coming through internet. So some of the Indian channels, they are here through internet, and some of the newspapers, they are also available online. So every now and then people still follow their old sources of news, and some of the people, they do follow SBS broadcast, but most of the times they are still following the old media sources. There are very few people, they actually follow the local news channels or TV channels for everyday information.
Yeah,
so,
and
yeah.
Is Facebook a big thing for the Indian community, do you think?
Yes, it is, yes. People do follow Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything. They are quite tech-savvy. Most of the people, they are very well-educated. So they can easily understand and use all these gadgets and these applications.
And what do you feel are the big election messages for the Indian community down this way?
At this moment, Indian community hasn't seen any message so far from any of the parties other than Prime Minister Kukunkeri on the TV, on his Facebook page. But otherwise, people do have a certain number of issues they go through, because most of them, they moved in their working life. They start moving here in their early 20s to late 30s. This is the age bracket people move here, and they have different concerns. Some of them may not be having student debt because they paid international student fees already. And so they have a different.
So when you move over, like, I suppose being an international student, you've got to pay up front.
Up front, that is nearly double the fee what people pay here.
So right.
People pay up front, yes. And some of the times one of the partners working full time to pay the fees, and the other partner is studying full time to fix the career. So it's a quite a bit of struggle when people come here. They not only pay the double the fees, they also pay 30% taxes from the first dollar they earn here. Do they? Yeah, that's a big challenge here. They go all through this. And on top of that, the people are frustrated from basically from the immigration policies. In past 10 years, Australia has seen the most changes in immigration system. So once people go to the voting stage, they are through the basic hurdle of getting residency and getting citizenship, all that, they are settled in life partly. But on the same time, they start thinking why we are here, why did we come here? They start thinking about the family back home. And Australian immigration policy is to be with the family back home. They are very harsh. It's one of the toughest in the world. So it's really hard to bring any of your relatives here permanently. As the parents go old, as all the ethnic communities, they have a culture to be in a united family, to live together, to look after their parents and all that. So this is a big challenge for people. And
so why is it so hard to bring their family back here? Like, what's the problem?
As you mentioned initially, we are gathering on stolen lands. And there is an element which was quite significant around 50, 60 years ago that is called White Australia policy. Australian immigration system is designed to stop a certain kind of migration. And recently, when the migration program was opened, that was opened by a party which was mainly focused about big businesses making money, how to bring the workforce here, not bring the humans here. So they tend to focus people coming in the working age. They don't want any elderly coming here. They think if anyone comes in the old, later age, they'll be a burden on the Australian society. That is the mindset government and opposition parties have at the moment. So people, as soon as they understand it is inhumane and illogical, it shouldn't be like this. Humans shouldn't be treated the way they are being treated at the moment. So
you can't bring your parents. You can only bring someone who can work.
If you want to bring your parents, there are two ways. Either you pay $120,000 for both of your parents and you wait for 4 years. Or if you are not willing to pay that, you need to wait 30 years, so which is nearly impossible if you are trying to bring a 50, 60 years old parent. You're not sure whether they'll survive for the next 30 years or not.
Why do you have to wait 30 years?
There's a queue in immigration system because immigration system has decided a quota for different categories. So certain people will come in the working prime age, certain people will come on certain visas, certain people will come on, this number will come on family reunion on humanitarian visas, but our record internationally for humanitarian visas is very poor, as we everyone knows. So this is also another part of that, yes.
So immigration policy is quite disheartening then for the Indian community, because I suppose like family is really important to not just the Indian community, in my culture it's really important too, you know, and I know in yours as well, Tim.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about this before, you know, your family ties are, you know, and looking after your elderly parents, this sort of thing, like
at least checking their well-being on day-to-day basis, it gets hard. Because if any immigrant gets an untimely call from back home from their parents, they're straight away concerned if anything has happened wrong or not. That is the most concerning call they can expect. This is one factor. Other than, as we were talking, government policies overall, as we were talking about NDIS funding and all that, those are also concerns. Employment is a concern in the community because most of the people are working in casualized work environment under high pressure for a regular number of years.
Jobs do they do here? Like
most of the people, they are in very well technical jobs, nurses, doctors, engineers, but especially I'll talk about the people in nursing profession today. If they are working in healthcare on a casual basis, say for example, disability care or aged care sector, if you are working as a casual worker in that and you are having lots and lots of stress to take home with you, because these jobs are demanding, not only physically, but also emotionally. You are dealing with other humans. You are providing very critical care. You need to look after people in difficult situations. As a casual worker, if you do not have enough days off or you do not have annual leave and all those things, you cannot reset your mental health.
Right.
That work is taking toll on the families. Families are breaking apart. People are going in stress. those things are not seen clearly. No one is talking about it. It is not only for immigrant families, but also the local workers who are working here in these fields. So this is the secondary effect. We cannot see what people are going through at the moment, and it's not being discussed. The mental health, which is not even in the Medicare. So there are so many issues in the communities which needs addressing, and people are concerned about it.
Yeah. And like, how does racism affect the Indian community? I don't really know if it's there because I'm not part of the Indian community. So is it there?
There is a say that racism is not dying, it's adapting. As say, for example, I came here from India around 15 years ago. I was working as a technical expert in an insurance company back in India. Wherever I was applying for job, I was asked for Australian experience, which is quite ridiculous that you cannot have Australian experience unless until you are living here or you're working here. And with a long struggle, finally, I managed to get an entry-level job in an insurance company. And the practices I saw here, they were very much outdated back in India, because in Indian IT companies are very well advanced, and they were providing us cutting edge technology to use to run day-to-day insurance operations. And when I saw this, I saw Australia is living in a bubble, because we are still struggling with older technologies, trying to say, yes, we are developer, we are advanced or something like that. So,
oh, you mean Australia in India, not, you've got older technologies?
In India, we had better technology.
Oh, better technologies. Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. It is not only you go to banking, you go to insurance, all these companies, well advanced. But if you grab your Indian resume and trying to get a job in Australian system, initially you'll be told you don't have Australian experience. Or if they hire you, they'll hire you 3 or 4 levels below what you were working before.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and if you are into any other technical profession, they will ask you for different certifications, try to get the equal compatibility of your certificates. Sometimes it takes very long. For some people, it is quite easy. Those who've been through professional education system, they can easily get their certification at par. But sometimes for doctors, dentists, it is very hard. They need to go through very, very tough exams. And you see huge number of people coming here. They spend years passing the exams, even if they have done all those things before. And second thing, there was another classic case for trade workers. Basically, trade workers, they should be assessed on the basis of their ability to perform the certain trade. Yeah. They are assessed off for English exam.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that is another form of discrimination, because every 2 years you need to provide English exam if you want to go for, say, for example, if I want to go to uni today in certain number of courses, they'll ask me to sit in an English exam and score certain level of English proficiency. Only after that I may be able to join a course.
Right. So, even though you've been here for 15 years.
Absolutely, yeah. I can speak English, I can write English, I can spell number of words which many people may not be able to do here locally. But unfortunately, that is how the system treats people who come from overseas. Recently, there was a news on Channel 7, I think. A very good chef from Thailand, she was working as a chef for 7 years. She could perform all the duties. She could read everything in the environment. She could communicate everything very well, but she couldn't pass English test. And her employer spent $25,000 on her training, just so she could pass university level of English. She never needed it in life. No Australian chef needs it in their life. So why do people are asked to pass ridiculous sort of exams? These are the hurdles in system. They are placed systematically to demoralize people, first of all. People get demoralized. If you are being asked to prove your ability.
Prove yourself all the time. And
over and
your
over,
competency.
Over and over. So people do get frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. So how much does it cost someone to actually, like, come over here from India?
Like, depends how people are coming. Some people, because back in those days, the fee was around $2,000 for a visa.
For a visa, okay. Yeah,
now it is, I think, $8,000 to $10,000.
$8,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, and say, for example, if someone marries someone overseas, get married,
yeah,
and want to bring the partner, again, there's a $10,000 fees.
Again, so yeah. $20,000.
Yeah, yeah, and you may have to wait up to 2 years to bring the partner over.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess with all of these problems, and like you say, with being demoralized once you get here and having to prove your competency all the time and getting a job that's like way below your level of competency, et cetera, like then when these people went back to visit their parents during COVID and were told that they now were stateless and weren't allowed back in the country, like that would have been really...
Absolutely.
Like... horrifying for people from India to be told that by their own
and especially prime minister gave a special package of 5-year jail if someone is
jail.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Jail if they tried to enter the country again. That would have been.
It was specifically for Indian community. It was not announced for anyone else. Never ever, but.
Never for anyone else but the Indian community.
Now, I'm just on that point because I think that's. I remember just how outrageous that was, and that also feels like a lifetime ago, but that was such an outrageous point. Do you think that that's going to have a lasting consequence on the government with Indian voters?
Yes, it does. It affects many people. People do remember things, and people have actually understood the government tactics, what they are doing. Even when Prime Minister gets his photo taken with Indian cooking, so people do understand he's trying to please us for just by this one. Actually, he's not doing anything in reality. Because if you have free trade agreement, that is one thing. You have free trade agreement for your industry or for your markets. But what about the humans? We are all humans, first of all. We talk about the families. We talk about individuals. What's happening over there? Everywhere, wherever you see, the funding is getting cut. People are getting into the casualized workforce. People are losing employment. There is no point calling someone employed if you don't have any work-life balance. You're working to survive. It does not work.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose everybody looks at his curry and just goes, "Ugh, that's not a curry." Every Saturday. Do you think his curries look good? I mean...
They could be a professional chef cooking for him and he is getting his photo taken after that. That is the second thing.
It could be.
Yeah.
But thing is, that is not the matter. People don't want it. They can cook it at home. What they expect from him as a prime minister, being a prime minister, should be doing something to help people to make their lives easy.
Yeah.
People know how to cook. They can cook at home.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you expect some action, don't you?
Yeah.
And, I've actually heard that some... people tend to, like from other CALD communities, communities where English is not their first language, that they tend to vote for the people who, the government who made them an Australian citizen, as sort of like they owe them that vote because they made them an Australian citizen, or they vote for the government that is in at the time. You know, as sort of like a...
Yes, this is also, some people do think this way. One of my friends used to think like this way, but COVID has changed so many perceptions.
It has, okay.
Right now, Australia is starving for workforce and they want people coming here. And sadly, we haven't done enough for getting the right workforce. New Zealand has done. During the COVID period, they granted blanket permanent residencies to so many people so they can work full time.
Really? Wow.
Canada has done a similar move. Whoever was eligible was in queue. They granted permanent residency so people can work.
Mm-hmm.
But in Australia, we are still deporting people after testing their English. They are not competent or incompetent in English, university level English. Even though they are working here for years, they are paying taxes. They know how to survive. They know how to perform in this workforce. But we still have the old attitude, which was 50 years ago. You guys may or may not be aware, there was a dictation test. Whoever was coming from overseas to Australia, that was during the white policy days. Mm. The person sitting at the immigration counter could ask anyone to write a 50 words paragraph in any European language.
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know either. Yeah.
So basically, that was a way how they could discourage anyone coming, a person of color coming to Australia.
I see.
Right.
So this is also a similar thing. If you say, for example, you want to run a Thai restaurant, you want person to be proficient in cooking Thai curries, or if you want to hire someone in Indian restaurant, you want a person proficient in cooking Indian curries and able to communicate normally, simply. If someone is able to survive for 3 years, you don't need to test English for that person. Person is paying taxes, so what else do you need from that person? Person can work there, he can pay taxes, or she can pay taxes. End of the story. So we have so many hurdles which are very different to many other countries, trying to prove, yes, we have certain standards and we want to take Oxford graduates only or anything like that. But if you have need people to work in the trade, so you look at the trade and let people in.
Yeah. We also have this myth of, like, the LNP being, you know, the best economic managers. Is that pervasive in the Indian community as well, do you think?
Depends how people understand. LNP may be good by taxing people and giving to the rich. And the moment people understand this, then they start to understand, yes, this is not the right way. And at some of the business community people, they are always concerned about their business. And they feel scared. They don't want to risk anything quickly enough. So they need better communication, better understanding about policies of other parties, what they are offering them. So far, we always listen to, on everyday TV, Prime Minister or Treasurer speaking up, boasting about the economy, even though people are not able to buy houses or not even rent houses. So we can see how well people are doing at the moment. Everyone is doing tough. So as people with a critical understanding, they understand straight away. But if you look at the overall superficial message, yes, people do think these guys are managers.
Yeah. And like you say, you know, COVID has kind of changed everything for everybody, really. COVID has been it's been a terrible thing to happen, but I think in terms of change, I mean, we've had a lot of change.
Yes, COVID has uncovered so many things which were hidden before. They have, say, for example, immigration. People did think, yes, they were allowed to be here. It is some sort of goodwill from the Australian government, so they let them in. But actually, it was need of the system to drive the economy, because if we want to drive continuous growth, continuous economic growth, we need continuous population growth as well. If it is not happening, we need people coming from overseas. Now people are understanding why they are here.
Yeah.
Because of the 2 years COVID gap, people didn't come here. So the economy is suffering now. We don't have workforce to work here. And so people are understanding they are not here because of any goodwill from the Australian government. They are here because they were needed in the system to work here.
Yeah.
If you see any outer suburb, you will see young people working there, young people living there, young people buying there. So without immigration, those suburbs wouldn't be there. And we wouldn't having the enough workforce to work in a nursing homes, in our aged cares, in our hospitals. The people are here for a reason. They were brought
or
in.
Even rural areas as well. I mean, they're screaming out for people to go rural. Surely.
Absolutely. That is actually breaking the myth of the people that who let them in, or it is something goodwill from the government. They were granted citizenship. Now people are understanding it better.
Yeah. So I suppose, have you got three big ideas for how you think, you know, now that we're kind of moving through this COVID period, what do you think our government should do to kind of make things better and kind of, you know, to patch things up, I guess, and make things better for the Indian community moving through this?
It is not only Indian community, it is for every community. We need to be out from the more casualized work. People do want a regular work, which is permanent, so they have peace of mind. So they are not going through stress. It is for everyone, not only Indian community, whoever it is. And secondly, people do want the taxes coming from the billionaires, not from them. For a salaried person, first you pay income tax, then you pay GST, then you pay different taxes wherever you go. So billionaires, they get away without paying any taxes. Their wealth is doubling up. And the big businesses, they structure them in a way, partially here, partially overseas. So they get away without paying taxes. If they pay taxes, we can be in a better condition. We can get better facilities. We can have better Medicare. We can have better funding for our care services. So people can get better care and the carer can be paid better.
Yeah. It's a redistribution of the wealth, really. Yeah,
absolutely. That is the thing. And other things what we are not looking at in future is, say, for example, the water has become a commodity. I'm wondering when air will become a commodity. Who will be able to breathe or who will be able to breathe? Because the water is an essential item. If you go to rural areas, you see water being traded in the stock market and farmers are struggling for it. Rather making it sustainable, or rather guiding what to grow, what not to grow, which is just sustainable, they have placed a price on it. So the cash crops will be growing more than the essential crops. It is not necessary that what we need is actually cheap, or it will drive everything's price up, the food prices up. So sooner or later, people are working hard. They don't have time. They are also struggling to buy food. They are struggling to get medical facilities. Medicare is cutting things. So people need relief from all this. They want better Medicare. They want smile on their face so they can see a dentist. It's a big status symbol in Australia to go and see a dentist. It should be a human right that I can go and see a dentist. And especially the mental care, mental health. People are not able to think about it. If they can freely go and see the doctor or the psychologist without paying anything, and they have leave. If you are a casual worker, even if you have Medicare or something, if you want to go and see a doctor, you lose a day's salary out of it.
It's true.
You don't have a medical leave. People
try to avoid it. Can't even afford the basics.
Yeah, people try to avoid it. So things get piling up. And the day they take the time off, their body says, no, now we are done.
Yeah.
The people do need better living conditions. They want a living wage. They want living work-life balance so they can look after their family. They can see doctors. They can do better for their well-being. All these things are required for everyone, for every immigrant and every local person who he or she is. So these are the needs of people.
If you go back to the water problem, you know, maybe they need to think about growing crops that, like, you make better use of our water.
Yes, absolutely. It is not about growing what pays you more. It is what the soil likes. So the soil can keep growing things. Partially the migration from state of Punjab we are seeing here, because the agriculture is not producing enough over there. There they are getting so much production, but effectively you are not getting money out of it. People are growing non-sustainable produce. They are stressing the land too much. They are putting too many resources into the farming. So the incomes have reduced. So there is not much income. That is one of the reasons you see so many people coming from the state of Punjab, where I came from. Because the farming is not a profitable business over there. The people are leaving the state, abandoning the place. This is what happens. It's slowly happening, but not many people can clearly see why people are here, but once you investigate it, that is the reason behind it. That state, once upon a time, was a very fertile land. They are heading to be a desert sooner or later because of the wrong farming.
Sorry, where's this? Where's heading to be a desert?
A state of Punjab, north of India. Punjab means the land of five rivers, and every river has more water than all Australian rivers combined.
Right.
It is the area equivalent of Southeast Queensland. It's not very big, but produced similar amount of wheat as Australia is producing. So you can imagine what it is. So
okay.
If you overexploit any resource, this is how it will go. And to commercializing it rather making it sustainable, that is the wrong way to go. So things are getting more commercialized or made commodified rather than making sustainable.
Yeah, it always feels like when money is driving the system, it's just going to keep driving it into the ground, whether that's farming or, you know, mining, like whatever it is. It's always extract it until you cannot go any further and then move on to the next commodity.
Absolutely. Another thing is, as we see housing, we have opened it for market.
Yeah.
It's not a place for living. It is a way of making money.
Yes.
People are getting houses.
It's an investment.
They have multiple
vehicle.
Investment, and the prices are going up. They are laughing, and some people are not even can't even cry.
Yeah.
If you are a renter, your rent is going up every 6 months, and 15%, 10%. That whose salary goes up like this? No one's.
Yeah.
We have an example in New Zealand. New Zealand house prices have gone too far high. People can't afford a house over there. And we there are so many problems need to be addressed. Basically, they need to be made more. Sustainability is an answer, not the market driving system.
Yeah. So if we come back to the beginning again, you know, if we respect the people who were here first, I mean, they would have the answers on how to make the land sustainable, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
The First Nations
people. Absolutely. If we understand them, how they were looking after the land, that is, we should be looking after the land.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being with us today, Nav. It's been really good to get an insight into, you know, the Indian community. And as I said, they're a big part of this community down here on the south side of Brisbane and in Logan. And we really need to work together and make this a better place for all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me in.
Thanks, Nav.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Tim.
Likewise. Thanks, Andrea.
You've been listening to Beyond the Rona. Captioned audio is available on our YouTube channel, or you can visit beyondtherona.com to keep in touch or to view previous episodes. We'll catch you next time.